So they said for every 1 hour show that they put out, it's 20 hours of production.
Holy crap.
And I'm like, fucking A. Like, that's
that's like 19 more hours than I spend on ours.
Yeah, I was going to say. Welcome to Rated NID Podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. And this is episode number 222. And I am Matt.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm Ash.
That was dumb. No one's going to laugh at that.
Well, you did. So that's one.
I think we should.
I'm an idiot.
We should leave it.
We should never leave it. It's just dumb. Oh, boy. And I didn't mean just your part, Ash. I meant all of our parts were dumb.
Was that a bit that we just do? Is that what they call it in the business?
Yeah, that was a bit.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Man.
Amazing.
Sketch comedy now.
Yeah.
We should change it from geek and gaming news to a comedy podcast.
That would surely get us some listeners.
Is there a section for finger quotes comedy?
Whoa, I didn't know where you're going with that. And yeah.
Air quotes.
Like sarcastic, like comedy?
Comedy? Yes.
You're a comedy podcast?
That kind of comedy.
Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate, possibly, until they hear this.
Yeah. They're going to pull out real quick.
Heyo.
Loot Crate is the monthly subscription service for you and all of your gaming needs. February's was Dead, and you got some sweet Deadpool minifigs and Walking Dead stuff, I believe, correct?
Yeah, can I talk about this?
Yeah.
I think so. This month's was kind of insane. We got a Deadpool shirt that's really awesome. It's actually a Marvel shirt, so it was a licensed Marvel Deadpool shirt. A great Deadpool minifig. Did you guys ever see the Ghostbusters one they put out a little while ago? It's not Funko Pop. It's like they're almost like little mini statues.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they put out one of those with the Deadpool with the variant X-Force costume, which is fucking awesome. And the Walking Dead thing is hilarious. It's if you ever watched Walking Dead, I think in the first or second season, Daryl wears a necklace of ears, and they actually shipped a Walking Dead ear necklace soap on a rope. So it's a bunch of ears that are made of soap on a rope. And I took it out of the box and I told Christine, I'm like, so where do you want to hang this in the house? And she just looked at me. So, good stuff this month. We love Loot Crate. Definitely subscribe and get some, silly stuff sent to your door.
Yeah. Head on over to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and use the code ratedNA. That's ratedNA. And, get 10% off your order and, support the podcast at the same time. And they also have Loot Pet or Loot. Did I say that wrong? Loot?
I think that's right.
Yeah, Loot Pet and the gaming box. And you can go get a bunch of stuff. It's all cool. Loot Crate.
Loot Crate.
Let's do the rundown.
This week we'll talk about what we've been up to. We have a little bit of news, but it was a slow week for news. And we'll talk a little bit about Street Fighter V. You guys saw Deadpool. And we played the Division beta last night, which was a whole lot of fun, and I'm sure we'll talk about that too. And I think that's it. We're just gonna hang out, have a good time.
Cool.
You guys can talk with us through your iPods and your Zoom HDs.
I was gonna say, do people still use iPods?
Yeah, totally. And through your internet web browsers, through Netscape Navigator, you can talk to us as we're talking to you.
Like, it's time travel.
How many years do you think we're away from, like, a single device?
A single device?
Yeah. Like, so they've noticed that iPads are dropping in sales because of the larger iPhones. Like, people are just getting the midway point and then not buying the iPads anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, I know people here still carry around, like, iPods and stuff because they don't want their phone to die.
Oh, right.
So, like, I know that still happens, but, like, how far off do you think until we have a single device which battery is, like, you know, never an issue, and it's the size we all want, and it does everything we need? How far off? Are we, like,
I feel like we're getting close.
2 years?
Yeah.
We're getting there. I mean, just think about, you know, how far the phone has come along in the past 15 years. It's insane.
Yeah.
I had a similar thought this morning, and that was how at some point in our future, we're going to see, you know, a news article somewhere where it's going to be like, you know, play Fallout 4 on your phone.
Yeah.
You know? Like, because you can now play, you know, like Windows 3.1 games are now like in this weird browser emulator environment. And, someone's building a website with like classic DOS games. And I was just thinking like someday computing will get to the point where these really beefy games that we're spending money on computers for is just going to be like, oh, play it on your phone. No big deal. You know?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's true. And it's awesome.
It's crazy. It was just a random thought, guys. I have another random thought, but I'll bring it up later.
Okay. Cool. So, Matt, what's up?
Oh, hey.
there you go.
Let's see. I took some days off this week from work, which was glorious because I've been...
You're on a staycation, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. We've been working hard, Melissa and I. So we got tickets to see The Late Show The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
That's awesome.
It was really cool. It was really fun. Other than waiting in line in the rain for like 2 hours. And then halfway through it, I realized I work for the same company and I probably could have gotten tickets somehow through like a different site. I did not even cross my mind until we were at the theater and my phone jumped on the Wi-Fi. And I was like, why am I on my work Wi-Fi? Because we're like 5 blocks away from my work. And I thought it was like somehow I could still get my work Wi-Fi from, which it would be ridiculous because it doesn't even work on my floor. So. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, I was like, oh, this is the same company. So
you probably have Colbert's email address in the gal. You know?
Yeah, you know, I can just look it up.
Yep.
Just Stefan.Colbert.
Send him some GIFs.
Yeah.
GIFs.
But it was really fun. We had, who was on? Eva Longoria was the main guest. And then Abby and Alana from Broad City, which is like one of my favorite shows.
Ooh, that's awesome. Great.
They were on, and they did this crazy green screened thing with rainbow bagels, because that's an actual thing here in Williamsburg. And they're bagels that have food coloring in them to look like crazy psychedelic rainbows.
Interesting.
There's nothing else special about them whatsoever. They look crazy. Seeing them get made is the craziest part, because they basically take a bunch. This is not what I planned on talking about. A bunch of tubes of like colored dough. And like wrap them together. So then when they make the bagel, it kind of swirls throughout the whole bagel.
Interesting.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
I've heard they taste no different than bagels. So we did that. That was really fun. And we did some other, we went to like the Whitney Museum and took some time just to disconnect and hang out. Yeah.
Gonna take the time to do the things you never had.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the rest?
No.
It was a Toto Africa, wasn't it?
Yeah. Did you see that Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard went to Africa and then they just did, instead of having a photos or a slideshow to bring back, they just did the Africa music video, but like with them in Africa doing all the shots. It was kind of
I don't want you to not be friends with me anymore, but I don't actually really like Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard.
I mean, there's a lot of things you don't like. I'm used to it. It's okay.
Dax Shepard sort of annoys me. I don't know why. And then
we booked him for the next show. I'm just kidding.
I'm sure he's a wonderful human and that he's very nice. I mean, he seems easygoing. Like, I mean, you should. When you're married to Kristen Bell and have millions of dollars, you should probably be pretty easygoing.
Yeah, for
but,
sure.
But, I don't know what it is. There's a lot of actors. There's something just doesn't click with me. And I don't know what to do. You know, what do we do, guys?
Well, I mean, it's hard to relate, right? Because it's just like, hey, that's cool. Yeah, we're just hanging out in Africa. No big deal. It's fine.
Here's our video of recreating. I was like, fuck you guys. No. Yeah, I wasn't that mad at it. I just didn't watch it. I was like, okay.
There was Amy Schumer did a sketch on her show about like the typical late night talk show interview.
Uh-huh.
And like one of the first things she does is she comes out and she's like, you know, she's doing a parody, obviously, and she's like, oh, I just came back from Prague. Have you guys ever been to Prague? Oh, everybody should go to Prague. Like, seriously, go. It's so good. You know, as if we could just go tomorrow. Yeah. It's just unrelatable, right? It's like, we're not going to Africa in the near future.
Somebody tweeted the other day, it was like, lol at lol at famous actors who talk about the shitty jobs they used to have that are actual jobs people have right now.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, it was the worst. I was, you know, I was a bartender. And you're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people who are that to make a living.
Yeah.
Anyways, famous people, right? They're just
hashtag
like us. So yeah, so we did that. It was really fun for a few days. I am taking an improv class.
Nice.
Improv, sweet. Guys.
Nice. Do you have to do those like mouth exercises and yoga?
I
and
have
stuff?
No idea. I'm mostly terrified. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be an idiot.
That's awesome.
Melissa's been encouraged. Melissa takes one and she loves it. She's done like three levels of it. It's like Scientology. Like you sign up for level one and then you have to like progress all the way to level five before you're allowed to like call yourself an improver or whatever.
Do you get any like new buffs or like skills as you level up?
Do they give you an vote? Advice to a little device to test your Keaton levels?
Yep. Your Keaton levels?
Your Keaton levels, because it's
instead
improv.
Of Peyton?
Yeah, you're okay. Acting, right? So I would assume that it's Keaton levels that you're working on.
Speaking of, a friend of ours that we were at his house for a Mardi Gras party, which sounds more exciting than it was, but
that does not sound exciting.
It was fun. It was fun. They had really good food. We just all kind of like drank coffee and ate good food and hung out. But he had one of the Phaeton measuring machines.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah, he did work for like a friend, like web work or something, and he was like, yeah, it didn't work out. Like, I couldn't fix the thing he wanted me to fix. So I was like, oh, just don't pay me. And then the guy was like, well, I'm going to pay you. He's like, don't pay me. Nothing happened, you know? And then he said like 2 weeks later, he got a box in the mail and it was like a real legit Phaeton measurer from like where you hold the two cans. And,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. It looks crazy. Like the thing looks insane and we messed with it. It still works. You just, well, works in finger quotes, but you, I had a lot of Phaetons. So I'm a Scientologist, guys. No, you just turn the dials and like the stuff will move kind of on its own, you know?
Yeah.
And it's pretty clear that you could just manipulate it to like make it look like, oh, your Thetans just spiked when you said something about your dad kind of thing.
Ooh.
So.
Right.
It was interesting. Anyways, we've also
been
binge watching The Flash a bunch.
Nice.
It's really, I like it like a lot, like probably possibly more than Arrow even. And
cast is great in Flash. They a lot of energy.
Yeah. I like just a really great cast, decent, like fun writing. The only two I only don't like the Prison Break guys, the Captain Cold and Fire. And I get a lot of people do like them, but it throws me off when a show sets up like a world, which is basically our world, you know, like it's like this is modern day, you know, fake city. And the Flash is running around, he's catching bad guys, and like the rest of the bad guys are kind of just like pissed off people that feel like they got wronged. And then like Captain Cold and Fire Guy or whatever his name is are like so over, they're like Fish Mooney or whatever from Gotham. They're so freaking like over the top that you're just kind of like, how do you belong? He's like, well, it seems as if I'm going to get him. And you're like, who talks like that? Like, it's just so ludicrous and out of the blue. Like, I know he's getting that. He's got to be getting that direction from somebody, and he's got to be feeling like this is the way to go. And
yeah,
I looked it up online to be like, is anybody else finding this just super off-putting? And everybody else is like, they're my favorite villains. And I'm like, okay, it just feels like it's out of like 60s Batman. Like it's everybody else is normal. And then these two guys are like the Riddler from the 60s Batman show. Like I don't get it.
So I'm 100% in your camp with that, to the point where I also looked it up to see what the hell was going on. But there is good news. They're in that DC's Legends of Tomorrow show.
Yeah.
And they kind of fix that. So they give those characters a little bit more of a backstory, a little bit more depth, and spend some time with them and kind of explain why they act that way. Okay. And they also kind of dial it back a little bit, so it definitely gets better with those two. But yeah, when they were on there, I was just like, oh my god, like what is going on here? It didn't fit, you know?
Yeah, because it would be like the most uneven episode. Like all the other episodes would be going smoothly, and then that would happen, and it felt like it stuck out like weirdly every time. And Anyways, we're enjoying it. We're almost done with season one. The only thing with those shows that, and we've talked about this before, is that they all do hour-long shows on CW, and then there's like 24 episodes, and it's just a lot of TV, and I don't know that every one of those episodes needs to be an hour long. Like, they could be a half hour, and I'd be okay with it, probably, but it's less Salmon Ladder with Stephen Amell, so at least they're filling it with something. It's more just like Grant Gustin awkward looks. Like, like those are the two attributes they picked up from those two guys. But it's really fun. I enjoy it. If anybody has held off on watching it, it's all on Netflix, and it's like it's actually really enjoyable. So, we played King of Tokyo a bunch, which I think I talked about a little last time, or I just talked with you guys.
Yeah, it's a board game.
Yeah, it's a board game. It's really, really fun. But we played with four people. We got two more people to play with us, and it was super, super fun. Like, the game, what I expected to happen absolutely happened, and the game kind of shifted a little with more people. And it's very, like, there's a bunch of different, you could just play it where you just beat up all the other players and you just try to kill them all, and that's how you can win, or you can try to earn these, like, victory points to win. And then the more, like, the more people kind of adds more strategy to it, and there's more, like, ways to play and attempt to get to the end. So it's really, really, really worth it if it's, like, $25 or $30. It was super fun. We played with newcomers who aren't, like, board game people, and we played with them and did the first round, and then they were like, let's play again. We ended up playing three rounds in a row. Like, they really loved it. So, still recommend.
How long do the rounds take?
Like, I don't know, like 45 minutes max, maybe.
That's cool.
Like, max. Like, yeah, you probably can get through it like 20 to 30 minutes, depending on what happens.
That's awesome.
Went and saw Deadpool, but we'll talk about that later. Played Division Beta, but I think we're talking about that later. And then finally, the last thing is, we talked about this a bunch last week, and I finally pulled the trigger, but I have a gaming PC again.
Hooray!
Yeah.
Nice. I hooked up Steam on it, and I wrote this to you guys in Slack, but hooked up Steam, got all excited, fired up the first Witcher, because I have that sitting in my Steam pile, and I was like, this is a new computer, I can crank the stuff, and I cranked everything, and then my screen went black, and then it never turned back on, and I had to force quit my computer and come back into it.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that that game was ever fully optimized in one way or another.
First Witcher is held together with duct tape. And
but that's okay, because what I did is then I fired up Sword Coast and started playing that.
Yeah.
That game.
Whoever made that game. Whoever community manages that game must be a swell guy.
He's got a couple black eyes right now.
What?
oh, boy.
I might have just broken Ash. yeah, so that's fun. And I got a Steam Link and I hooked it up on my TV. But you guys use Xbox controller on it, right?
I do. I have a 360 controller with the little dongle that you use with the Windows PC. And it's plug and play. It just worked. So I have wireless controller for it. It's great.
Did you get the Steam controller, Ash, or did you get...
I have a Mass Effect 3 limited edition Razer controller.
Cool.
It has lights and stuff.
I have like an old Logitech USB controller that I plugged in, and it works okay, but I'm going to replace it. And I was thinking about, like, I can't use an Xbox One controller out there because it'd be confusing because I have an Xbox One out there.
You'd have to buy that dongle too and then repair them every time.
Well, I bought the dongle. Yeah, that's the thing, is like I would have to either buy one controller and then mark it as like a Steam controller, or I'd have to constantly repair them back and forth, which I don't want to do. And then I bought the dongle for my computer in the office, and that's what I'm using, the Xbox One controller in here. But
streaming.
I was thinking about getting the Steam controller just to try it, and also just to have a different controller out there, but I don't know.
I mean, you would be able to play games that are otherwise not playable, you know, without a keyboard and a mouse.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you have to have a controller pretty much, don't you?
No. I'm saying with the way the Steam controller is built, it's got like the little touchpad on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of emulate mouse movement on that controller. So you'd be able to play the controller games, but also some of the games that are probably not like real time games that require keyboard and mouse. But you could play like turn-based games with you could play Invisible Ink or something.
Huh.
I'll in theory.
Yeah, yeah. Or like Transistor and stuff.
And I think they actually, it is the only PC controller that is supported by XCOM 2, because they collaborated with Steam to develop some special controls for the Steam controller, from what I've read.
Ah.
Yeah, so that's a little something to put in your brain hole.
I'll keep it there. So, Scott, what have you been up to?
Not a whole lot, but I played the Division beta, which we enjoy and we'll talk about a little bit together. I've also been finishing up Unravel, which is the...
yeah, how do you like that?
The Yarny game. It's... I like the gameplay, and the music and the visuals are excellent, of course. The only thing that I will say about the game is that I kind of feel the same way about this game as I do when I watch the movie Melancholia, you know?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It so just feels like
it's gorgeous, but you're watching someone die of a terminal disease.
It just feels like very sad. Like, yeah. I know that there's a narrative and I know that it's sad. Yeah. And there's like, they do all these things with like photos and memories of things that have happened. And it's just like tugs at you a little bit. But like, I don't know why, because I'm not really following the narrative too closely, but it just feels so sad. Not sad, but melancholy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're just kind of like, ugh. But playing the game itself is really fun, in my opinion. And what I learned as I was playing the game is that it looks like a platforming game, but I really think that it's actually a more of a puzzle solving game, because once you learn how to solve the puzzles, then you can go through the levels with relative ease. So that's really the trick, is that once you know the solution, playing through levels is easy. There's an achievement in the game, for example, for completing each level start to finish without dying, which I thought was impossible, but really it's more about like thinking creatively than it is about like your twitch reflexes and trying to get through everything. It's not like Super Mario Brothers. So it's kind of a different game, the way that it's made. And I don't know that comes across, you know, in the marketing, or if you just look at screenshots, you might think it's a pure platformer, but I think it's fun. There are more levels in the game than I thought. I think there are about 12 levels, and all the environments are different looking, and it's just fun to play. So I'm really enjoying it. And the last thing I want to talk about is, how good is this season of Agent Carter?
Oh, yeah.
It is, yeah,
very good. The last episode was a double episode, right?
Yeah, they aired two at once.
Yeah, I haven't watched that block yet.
So oh, okay, that's cool. I
haven't watched that block yet either, then.
Yeah.
But good. It's really good.
But all I will say is that, like, you know, the three main female characters are incredible. You know, Agent Carter and Dottie Underwood and Whitney Frost, like, those characters are incredible, and I feel like they have so much depth, and I want to see like a sitcom of the three of them living together. You know, like, right? They're just so interesting, and they kind of have, you know, like, the characters have some gray areas, and it's not just like cut and dry. It's not just like, this is the bad person and this is the good person. They all kind of have motivations, and I think this season they've been getting into backstories with these characters as well. And I really like it. And I like the setting of this season. It reminds me of L.A. Noire. And I want to I wish there were a video game.
Black Dahlia murder right around the corner or something. You
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. I want to play an Agent Carter game, like, sort of set, you know, like a period in like some historical period, like a genre, historical era. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a shooter. It could be solving crimes or doing stealth or being a spy, just like using disguises and stuff. It's just, the show is so much fun, and it tells a lot of, you know, it's very reflective of cultural things, society things, social things that were important, you know, back then that are, you know, oddly still relevant now. So it's just really good. I'm really enjoying it. So
yeah, I think that it benefits heavily from not having to explain why, like, Iron Man isn't showing up and solving the problems.
Yes. You
know, like, there are no actual superheroes running around during, like, the Peggy Carter era, because Cap is frozen and everybody else hasn't really been created yet. And it's just kind of, it's interesting to see them be able to just tell these really fun, and, like, everything's kind of starting to, you know, like, Hydra's not what Hydra becomes, really. It's kind of been disassembled a little bit, and... Mm-hmm. You know, the Leviathan story was really cool, as far as like a startup Russian spy agency, like, last year. Like, I thought that was all, they just do such a great job at finding the right hooks and writing whatever
that,
their story.
That Haley Atwell too is just like,
she's awesome.
She's incredible.
Everybody needs to go watch the Black Mirror with her, because that one is the most sad and disturbing episode that I've ever watched. But she's incredible in it.
Awesome, awesome. And let's see. Oh, there's one more thing I wanted to mention. I don't know if you guys are following Orphan Black, but they dropped a trailer for the new season.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so excited, man.
I am very excited. That show is awesome, and I think that with the, you know, the nomination that she got this year, like, it's just going to have a bunch of momentum and sort of embrace this whole cult that has formed around the show. And, like, you know, their Twitter account is very engaging with the fans and everything, and it's just kind of become like a fun thing to watch now. And you know, like Agent Carter and a bunch of other shows that are on TV right now, they're short runs for each season, which is really awesome too. So just excited. Like, I'm excited to see more Orphan Black. Who is your favorite clone?
Me?
Yeah.
I like Beth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh no, that's the one that died at the beginning.
Oh, that's the one that Sarah's the main one.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Allison is the
I like Allison.
Yeah.
The soccer mom's.
Yeah, favorite. I think she's my favorite too. She's my favorite. Yeah.
She's awesome. She cracks me up.
Yeah, exactly. Good times. And the whole story arc with the campaign that she was running.
Oh, like, it was great.
Oh, it was God. Great. It was incredible.
I honestly forget that Tatiana Maslany is playing all those characters.
Yeah.
Every time I watch it, I completely forget that it's a different actor, or it's the same actress playing different characters.
Yeah, it's very believable. It was actually my mom was the one who told me to start watching the show, which I thought was hilarious. She called me up one day. She's like, are you watching this Orphan Black? This one person plays all the characters. And I was like, that doesn't sound good at all. and then we started watching and we were like hooked immediately. So that's awesome.
I think what's amazing about it is it's much less a testament to the technical way of pulling that off and much more a testament to her like acting ability, watching her do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you just stop questioning it entirely while you're watching it. It's insane.
Yeah. She always mentions that she, you know, puts a lot of work into developing the voice and the mannerisms for each of the characters. And then she also gives a lot of credit to her like body double, you know, her acting double.
Yeah.
Who like helps her in a lot of those scenes where there's like two clones at the same time. So just the whole way that they execute the show is really interesting and awesome. And if you haven't seen Orphan Black, I think the first two seasons at least were on Amazon Prime, and maybe the third one now too. So not too late to get caught up. I think the new season starts in April.
Yeah.
That's where we were
watching it, Amazon Prime.
Yeah. So, Ash, what is up, man?
I will go quickly.
Okay.
I know we don't have a lot of time, but quick stuff with XCOM 2. So I actually beat the main narrative of XCOM 2.
Nice.
But I did what they were referring to in the community. It's called save scumming, where if you fuck up too badly, you reload. And, you know, that way you don't lose all your characters because XCOM 2 has
death.
So I actually save scummed my way to victory in XCOM 2, and I was not quite proud of that. So I'm actually going through again on a harder difficulty and actually trying to play through it again. But it's still great. Definitely check it out if you're a fan of strategy games. And the mods, like I said last week, are unbelievable for that game. Definitely pro quality. So if you want to, you know, tweak out your game a little bit, go to, you know, Steam Workshop and check out all the cool stuff you can add to XCOM 2 and enjoy it. It's ridiculous.
It's awesome that a game like that has such a strong community that, like, within days of the game coming out, there's, you know,
oh, it's unbelievable.
It's like stormtroopers, you know, and Mass Effect armor and all this other crap. It's crazy.
You saw that stuff? Yeah,
I saw they have screenshots.
The stormtrooper helmets and you know, they have all the Mass Effect armor, they have new guns and new character classes, and it's like, you know, it's only been out for 2 weeks. It's absolutely insane, and all of it's like pro quality. You won't put on a stormtrooper helmet and be like, oh, that looks like ass. No, it's like, it looks like, you know, Firaxis made it. So it's pretty awesome. I did get a chance to play Street Fighter V this week. They actually brought it into work, and folks are playing it on lunch break, so I got a chance to play that on and off this week, and it was a lot of fun.
Are you playing it like arcade machine style?
Yeah, well, they do. They have two big arcade sticks, and they put it up on the projector.
Oh, awesome.
So everyone kind of takes turns, like, you know, arcade style, so winner stays, and loser walks.
Loser pays.
Cool. Yeah, so it's fun. Oh, yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that in the reviews. I played Division Beta with you guys, which was fun, and I have some qualms that I'll talk about
when we
talk about a little more. It's not big qualms.
No, qualms. Yeah, I want to hear it.
And talk a little bit about Deadpool, I guess, as well, which was fun. And I know I mentioned this briefly either last week or a couple weeks ago, but I've been listening to a lot of true crime podcasts. And I mentioned Criminal a while back, which is great, but I'm all caught up on Criminal, and it's sad because it's weekly and you have to wait. So I'm looking for new shows on my drive, and I found a show a little while back called Sword and Scale. And it turns out this is actually a podcast that's produced in Florida, which is cool to see another Florida show. And I listened to maybe the first 24 episodes in the past couple of weeks. Yeah. So I listened to, you know, maybe an episode or two a day. So I've been flying through them. It's great. If you're into true crime stuff, if you're into, you know, hearing about really kind of strange and unusual cases around the world, then definitely check it out. They go into depth and actually, you know, pull up a lot of audio from police interrogations and 911 calls and do a lot of digging. And it's really, I mean, if you're into that sort of, you know, First 48, How to Make a Murderer, all that kind of stuff, if you enjoy that at all, definitely check out Sword and Scale. It gets it's by far the darkest show I've ever listened to.
Wow.
So it's like chilling 911 calls of like horrible stuff going on, and
oh man,
you know, it's like you got to be like ready for you know, to have your hair stand up on your arms.
I don't know that I would have guessed Sword and Scale was a true crime chilling podcast.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, but it is. But definitely, check
I thought you're gonna
out.
Be like, I'm reading a new fantasy novel about, you know, knights and dragons.
Yeah,
no, but yeah, it's the name is kind of misleading, huh? But it's great. So definitely check it out. Let us know what you think of it. They're doing a great job, and they mentioned on one show like the amount of production that goes into a single episode. So they said for every 1 hour show that they put out, it's 20 hours of production.
Holy crap.
And I'm like, fucking A. Like that's
like 19 more hours than I spend on ours.
Yeah, I was gonna say
that's absolutely ridiculous. But definitely check out Sword and Scale. And that's pretty much it.
News.
All right, we're back with some news. This week, this is a light news week. We were really kind of struggling to find some stuff that wasn't like horribly depressing or had to do with politics. We did notice this week that Comic-Con put an announcement out that for the first time ever, San Diego Comic-Con, they are no longer making you pick up your badge at Comic-Con. And while this may not seem like a newsworthy item, it's kind of crazy because it was a Comic-Con tradition to get there super early, wait in the long ass line, pick up your badge. And that is no longer happening. I even remember maybe a couple years ago, they actually did it off site at a hotel, which was really weird. It was my wife's first Comic-Con.
At the Town and Country or something, right?
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I think that was our first Comic-Con.
Yeah. And it was really, really strange. So they've been really struggling to figure out what to do with San Diego Comic-Con's ticketing process. But now it looks like tickets are going to be shipped to people. They're going to have RFID chips, which Matt was saying is similar to what they do at New York Comic Con now.
Yeah.
And it's going to speed up the process a lot, which is really cool.
It appears to be not an effort to keep people from selling or giving away their badges, but an effort to keep badges from being faked. So if every badge has an RFID thing, you have to scan it on the way in. If, you know, you couldn't really fake that as much. You probably could, I guess, but it'd be a hell of a lot of effort to pull off. So I think this is really more an attempt to stop the sale of fake badges, which probably happens here.
Does this mean that when you, for instance, go in and out of different doors or the floor that you're going to have to get scanned every time?
So I don't think we scanned, or maybe we did scan out. Yeah. I mean, so all I can say is this, is that they did it in New York. There were 150,000 attendees in New York Comic Con, and it wasn't noticeable. So
okay, that's good.
So as long as they, you know, pull it off in kind of the same way, there was plenty. They would let you in the door there. So we'll have to see how they set it up. You were allowed in the door, and then you scanned before you got like to anything on the floor, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just like a bunch of people holding things that you would just walk by, you'd scan your badge, it would light green, and you'd walk through. So I'm sure there is plenty of potential for this to go terribly wrong.
Yeah.
And them give up entirely. But I mean, I guess the worst thing that happens is if the RFID badges scanning isn't working, then you have your badge and you just go in with your badge. So,
yeah, I know for like Penny Arcade and stuff, the PAX cons, those are horrible, scalped all the time.
Yeah.
Those actual passes are actually manufactured. So it's kind of cool that they're changing their level of technology and finally, you know, kind of getting with the times, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they just had their general sale for, you know, for tickets, I think, what, yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday. Sold out in under an hour. Completely.
Unbelievable.
Yikes.
And it looks like it went smoothly, though. Looks like it, I didn't hear about any horrible crashes or anything on my end.
So. Their new system of, like, making people wait before they, you know, and letting them in it, like, together.
Yeah.
Works. I think they're mitigating the issue, which was, you know, 150,000 people hitting their site at the exact same moment. So
yeah, crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm already getting excited for Comic-Con.
Me too. I'm just excited to go to Southern California because it's colder.
Right. Well, did you see that TwitchCon's actually moving to San Diego
from San
Francisco? So
I thought about going, but I was like, I don't know what Twitch is.
We should go, man. We should go. It'll be fun. Let's go to San Diego. Twitch is just like what we do, just with a camera on your face. And then you know.
Just joking.
You go, let's raid people. And then you like, check out my new emoji.
It's like Twitch and Snapchat make me feel old. That's it.
Did you guys check out the Dice Awards at all?
I did not.
Just the big winner. That's it.
Just the big winner. I did get a chance to watch it for a little bit. I watched the chat between Guillermo del Toro and Kojima, and it was really cool. You know, they were working together on Silent Hills, and then stuff went down with Konami, and then they weren't able to complete production on that game. But there's definitely no love lost between those two guys. They want to work together again, which was, I guess, the big reveal from their conversation. And they have like genuine affection for each other. They kind of they're talking about how they hang out together and how they, you know, inspire each other, and it was cool. And you know, the Dice Awards are interesting because they're sort of like the highbrow awards for video gaming. And what won Fallout this year? No big surprise.
Yeah.
I feel like some other winners were like, I know that Life is Strange was nominated for some awards, and Assassin's Creed Syndicate was nominated for a couple of awards as well. I think Ori and the Blind Forest won some awards for art and or music.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's all I saw just from, you know, looking at Twitter briefly.
Yeah, cool. So I just think they're... Do you think that these are the equivalent of the Academy Awards, or do you think that maybe, you know, we still have yet to have the true Academy Awards in video gaming?
I don't know enough about it to be sure.
Yeah, like who votes these things in?
I think there's like an Academy similar to...
It seems like... The other awards that seem to be pretty fairly important seeming are the BAFTAs, or
the British Oscar. Yeah, the BAFTAs are the British Oscars.
Yeah, they do games for that, right? That's the one
they
where
do
there's
do,
some.
Yeah.
I think that one is fairly important as well as far as game awards go.
So you don't think a Spike Award is
a. I mean. I still don't know what to make of those game awards broadcasts, so I'm just gonna refrain.
Yeah. Refrain.
Did you guys watch the Grammys, by the way?
No.
I did not.
It was just all, it's weird. It's like, it felt the same as the Spike Awards in the sense that it was just all performances, and they were all covers, essentially. Mm-hmm. It was like, this artist covering another artist, and you're like, are you giving out a award? It felt like they only gave out like four awards in like a 3-hour broadcast.
So they just do them all off air now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all the technical stuff. They don't even bother showing that to people.
I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like there is so much controversy surrounding the Oscars, for example.
Yeah.
That, I obviously winning an award is a really big deal, and it's nice for the people involved to win those awards. But ultimately, the awards are representative of the people that make the selections, right? I feel like the things that these academies select are not representative of my tastes and preferences, and ultimately I'm going to watch, read, play, go see whatever I want, right? So unless there's something like a performance that I wanted to see, I would just go, you know, look online the next day for the performance or something like that. So
although, to be fair, the controversy around the Oscars would say that it is your peer selecting the awards. But I got you.
I mean, unless I'm voting on it, then it's not representative of my preferences. You know, like that's kind of...
Agree.
Yeah. So, you know, ultimately, like you're still just going to listen to what you listen to and see the films that you like. They're not correlated, right? It's like
it's the same. I mean, we've been that way with like the Grammys and stuff. It's like, it's all these huge pop artists that none of us actually listen to. So
yeah, like, are you telling me that, you know, objectively speaking, that Taylor Swift's album is the best album that came out all of this year, of all of the records that were released
the
all
most artistically
year?
Sewn.
Yes. Yeah, you
know,
come on.
I don't know, whatever.
Come on. I'm not buying that. It's a popularity contest. There's lobbying involved, right? And like PR and all this other stuff. So it's like, you know, I question the validity of the process.
And it's weird because it's like with game awards or movie awards, it would seem like music's harder, I feel like, because a lot of it's based off of sales and all that kind of stuff. And with the Academy Awards, and I think even some of Game Awards, it's not necessarily like that. Like the Academy Award winners are rarely the blockbuster. Like Star Wars is only nominated for like special effects. That's
it. Exactly.
So it's like you would think that the indie that would come closer to a true like quality test, but then it comes down to, like you said, like the people voting for it are just a group of other directors and actors, and it gets very weird at that point. You're like, well, who is voting this in, and how is it getting there?
Yeah, so. I mean, to be selected by, you know, maybe a group of your own peers to win an award, I think would be very nice. Of course, like kudos to people that win those awards, but I just feel like it's not relatable. You know, as an average consumer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Marvel's Most Wanted.
Yeah. So it's actually happening. We reported on this a long time ago that it was happening, and then it kind of got shut down
and secretly under wraps this whole time.
Yeah. And it looks like the S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff Marvel's Most Wanted is actually going to be happening. Of course, you know, it involves Mockingbird and Lance Hunter kind of going off on their own and doing their own thing, which is a bummer because I love them on the fucking show. Because
Hunter is my favorite character on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is great. He's absolutely hilarious. And Mockingbird's awesome too. So, you know, seeing where they end up and what the show is about and how it's different tonally from S.H.I.E.L.D., I think that is, you know, that is going to be kind of cool to see. And the only thing that kind of worries me is I don't think it bodes well for Agent Carter. If they're spooling this up to be S.H.I.E.L.D.'s, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s midseason replacement when S.H.I.E.L.D.'s and doing its downtime, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Did they say it was going to be winter replacement though, or did they say it was going to be the summer show?
Agent Carter would make a good summer show.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
That'd be great.
I hope Agent Carter's numbers are doing well to keep it on the air, because it is a pretty special show. But anyway, so it's exciting for you if you're fans of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the Marvel Cinematic TV Universe as well. We have more shows coming up, and it's going to be cool because it's not just going to be the two of them. I mean, we're going to see an expanding cast as well. So there's going to be other Marvel characters, other cool people showing up on this.
Well, it also feels sort of like they're taking it back to the roots of it being a spy show, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has grown into, you know, you've got the Inhumans and all this stuff going on now, and everybody's getting like powers and stuff. And now they're going to kind of take it back to like, oh, look, here's just two regular people fighting to catch bad guys that are also probably regular.
That's true.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their chemistry and their story together is really awesome. So they could probably take more time to tell those stories, you know, between Hunter and Bobby. It'll be great. Do they ever call her Mockingbird on the show?
That's her code name, isn't it?
Did they?
I thought that was her code name. I don't think they call her that.
I just don't remember if they've ever spoken the word.
I don't think they call her that like in regular occasion, but I think it was her call sign or something at some point.
Oh, awesome.
I thought. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you guys ever read the Secret Warriors storyline?
I read a little bit of it, when it was crossing
I read
over.
I think I read maybe the first, 20, 25 issues. But they did actually announce that they were going to have a new Secret Warriors character that was in the books actually pop up on S.H.I.E.L.D. And she's actually going to be in the when the show comes back, I guess in a couple weeks at this point.
She's in it?
Yeah, she's in it. So it's the character codenamed Slingshot. Who's Speedster.
Yeah, yeah.
So Slingshot will be, I guess, joining the Secret Warriors, which I guess is newsworthy. So.
That's cool.
So now they're actually starting to build a team. So you have, Daisy with the earthquake powers, and you have Slingshot, super speed, and then you have the lightning guy.
Good old lightning guy.
Link and the lightning guy, and then you have the melty metal guy. So we're getting there.
Yeah. Metal guy. Oh, boy.
I think he was a made-up guy.
Yeah, it's true.
Can we give him a code name? The three of us. Let's pick a code name for him.
For Melty Metal Guy?
Yeah, his pal. Okay, so here we go. We have 1 minute. It's 11:25.
Meltel.
1 minute. Meltel? It sounds like someone with a speech.
Let's come up with our answers on the other end of the musical break.
Oh.
Wait, we need to, now we're supposed to talk about our answers for this, naming the hero guy.
Well, I have two. I have my serious answer.
Okay.
Would be Mercury.
Oh.
Because, you know, it's like a liquid metal type deal. Mm-hmm. And the other one is Smelty.
Smelty.
Smelty is my not serious answer. You guys come up with any?
I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
Mentalic.
Ooh, that's good
because he can mentally, you know, mess with metal, so he's mentalic.
I like
interesting
that.
Wow, I don't really have anything good. I was just gonna go with mind freak because it's like magic, you guys.
Isn't that Chris Angel?
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
You stole that from Chris Angel.
I totally did. And he can go,
Mind freak. Did we watch that in college? After college.
I know that we watched it at some point. Just,
yeah,
just for
Mind
for laughs.
Freak.
Just for
so
yucks.
I'm going to talk really quickly about Street Fighter V here.
Cool,
I'm
man.
I'm not in a place in my life where I can, like, I can actually talk about this like an actual Street Fighter player. You would think that after playing Street Fighter since I was like 8 years old, I'd be able to talk about the Street Fighter games. But
it's a young man's game.
It really is.
I mean, like you must be one of the only people on earth that plays this game for fun anymore, right?
Well, I don't know. That's the thing that's interesting is it's you know, there was a little bit of controversy about this game's launch because from what I understand, it actually launched without all of its features intact. So there is no actual story mode right now.
Weird.
In Street Fighter V. There are only 16 characters that it shipped with, which is a really low roster number for Street Fighter games, considering I think Street Fighter 4 ended with, you know, over 30 characters, mm-hmm. I want to say. So, you know, it starts with 16 characters. You know, and on top of that, like I said, a lot of the modes are incomplete. A lot of the online features aren't there either. So it's sort of the thing where they're saying, okay, well, here's the base package and then wait until March. And then in March, everything else will be released sort of as DLC.
Oh, Capcom.
Which is weird, right?
I mean, that's weird.
A little bit weird. So that happened. In terms of the actual gameplay, it feels great. And I mean, the game is absolutely stunning to look at. And the characters move and feel just, they feel great. I mean, in terms of the mechanics of, you know, it being a Street Fighter game, it functions flawlessly. Like there's nothing like weird about it. The only thing that they added that to me stood out as new is everyone has like these, I'm going to say this incorrectly, and Street Fighter players are going to be pissed, but they have like V moves now.
V skill.
Which allow V skill. Thank you. So these V skills, these V skills actually allow you to pull off different moves. Each character has their own unique V skill and it's very easy to pull off. You just hit like your medium punch, medium kick at the same time. And you'll do a V skill. And for instance, like Zangief's is he turns sort of purple and he can absorb hits without blocking. So you can quickly tap it and you'll become invulnerable to damage. And then as your V skill charges through use, it allows you to use like a V super. And then you have your regular supers as well. So there's a little bit more variety, you know, I've watched a couple like professionals play this on, you know, on Twitch and stuff like that, and it's insane to see what people can do that I cannot do,
right?
So you know, watching people pull off these insane combos and everything is great. One thing that kind of threw me off, I've always been a Guile Charlie Nash player, Nash is in this again, but he doesn't have charge moves anymore, so no more, you know, back for 2 seconds, forward punch to throw a sonic boom,
mm-hmm.
You know, down for 2 seconds, up and kick for a flash kick. Now they are quarter circle moves, which was just a weird thing for me to like have that guy's move set just be completely thrown out the window.
Yeah, it's weird.
But you know, if you're a fan of Street Fighter, you're not going to be disappointed by Street Fighter V. It's unbelievable. It's you know, available right now only on PlayStation 4 and PC. And I would say, honest opinion, wait until March until the rest of the features are actually put into the game. They are supposed to be adding a full-on story mode similar to Mortal Kombat story mode. So if you want to actually see a cool, you know, playable story where you jump around and play different characters, you know, March is only right around the corner. So I say wait for that.
Cool.
Yeah. New characters are fun, too. I tried out all of them.
Nice.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about Deadpool or The Division?
Let's talk about Deadpool.
Okay. Scott, you did not see it, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to hang out.
Okay. It was good. Go see it.
Wow, is that it?
I agree.
No. I mean, it's like, first of all, it's made a bajillion dollars. It's breaking records all over the place. But not Star Wars records, but February records and stuff.
Broke like
but,
a Thursday release record.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then it broke like non-summer release record where it was like $100-something million in its opening weekend. So, and it cost, by the way, $50 million to make. So they have like quadrupled their budget already. Yeah, I was excited about this. I think, Ash, you were a little less excited, but mostly just because you're not a huge Deadpool fan, right?
Yeah, I you know, I said this before on the show, but I grew up taking my X-Men very seriously. I was like a Claremont era kid.
Yeah,
and he is like the antithesis of that.
Yeah,
you know, he's like not serious. He is not serious X-Men. You know, material, which is really awesome in the movie, though.
Yeah, yeah, it works out. Like, they just nailed the pitch and tone of this character exactly. You can tell that Ryan Reynolds, who also, I think, co-wrote the movie with a couple other people, truly gets kind of what this character is supposed to be. And knew, it seems like he knew that if he just kept pushing towards this kind of thing, that it would work, you know. Like, he's like, no, this right. is the, like, we shouldn't be making, like, you can't take a Deadpool character and make a run-of-the-mill superhero movie, because he's not a run-of-the-mill superhero character. He was the sarcastic, fourth wall breaking, you know, he was like Spider-Man, but like for adults, essentially. Like, he was written to be just bombastic and ridiculous and, you know, have arms chopped off and say cuss words and do gross things. And like that's his whole point of his entire character. So, it was pretty great. He was also written, I think, originally to be the kind of opposite to Wolverine, where Wolverine was the gritty, dark, angry character at the point that he was created, like in the '90s. And then Deadpool was written to be the kind of Gen X idiot that runs around with him and fights him and makes fun of him and stuff.
Hmm.
Right. Yeah, and you know, I said this before on the show, but I this is another one of those movies that I wasn't looking forward to at all, because I thought it was, honestly, I looked at all everything, like the whole big picture. I looked at who was directing it, I looked at everyone was in it, and I was just like, this has the recipe to be a complete fucking disaster.
Yeah.
The guy that directed it, Tim Miller, he's never directed a film before.
Ever,
He's not a slouch. I mean, he's been like nominated for Academy Awards for animation and stuff like that, and he's been working in the industry forever, but he's never made a movie. So I was like, oh my God, like you're taking this character that no one really knows that much about. I mean, he's popular, but only in like the nerd circle. Like, you ask my parents who Deadpool is, they're not going to know.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, you know, you have this first timer, you have this weird IP, and then everything just fucking worked. And I was blown away by how much I ended up enjoying it. I ended up reading an interview, which I think I talked to you guys about, with Tim Miller, about how hard this was to get made, but then also about what it was like shooting the movie. And they cut something like $7 million from the budget the day they started shooting it.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And they basically had to just rewrite the movie on the fly and change a bunch of shit around.
They cut one of that there was going to be 3 X-Men or 4 X-Men characters, and they cut them out, like, down to 2. Like, so there's a joke in there about it in the movie, but they literally, like, had to keep removing characters and stuff to hit budget, because Fox just kept saying, no, pull more money out.
Yep, they were apparently as afraid as I was. But so anyway, yeah, I also read this interview with Tim Miller, the director, and he was talking about Ryan Reynolds on the set and saying that, you know, the director, Tim Miller, was terrified to do this because there were a lot of things that he didn't know how to do as a first-time director. But Ryan Reynolds at this point has been in something over like 40 films or something. So the two of them had a great rapport and they helped each other out a lot. And yeah. Ryan Reynolds was like really nurturing toward Tim Miller. And it kind of made me really, I mean, I always thought Ryan Reynolds was great, but now it's like, oh, he's like a actual legitimate, like good human being.
You yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like helping out this guy. Obviously he wants the movie to do well, but it sounded like he went above and beyond. Like he was just, you know,
he was also like thick of it. Boldly honest during promotion for this film about what it was like making this film and what the studio was like to him. Like he said things that were just, I've never heard an actor say in promotion of a film, you know, like he would out like boardroom stories. Like he talked about how that the romance ads they ran.
Yeah.
The joke ones. I don't know if you saw these. I mean, I know you saw them. I think we talked about them briefly, but mm-hmm. They ran these like joke romance ads for the movie. And he said the reason that joke came about and the reason they ran those ads was because one of the studio execs legitimately, like seriously said to him, you need to push the romance aspect in promotion of this film, because if you don't, women won't go see the movie. That was like words that came out of a guy's mouth to him. And Ryan Reynolds was like, why won't they come see the movie? And he was like, because women don't do superhero movies.
Oh, boy.
And he was he was like, I feel like women will come see it if they want to see it. Like, I don't really. So then he was like, fine, we'll push the romance aspect, and then made complete jokes out of pushing the romance
right.
aspect. You know, make
yeah.
this like doing the Notebook ads with Deadpool on it. So and then the hashtag Deadpool was like amazing. Like all this stuff kind of came out of the studio's apprehension about even releasing this in the first place.
Right.
Which I think is really a testament to the movie. The one thing I was going to say about it, because I think it's pretty clear that the movie is bonkers fun and is like really just done well. The animation in it is amazing. The fight choreography is really good. Like all the stuff is the characters that they do have, like the B and C level X-Men characters that show up are incredible, and it's all very, very worthwhile watching. But the thing I was going to say is James Gunn wrote a post about this. Did you see this after the movie came out?
I did see this, yeah.
And he made
it's a
really
great post.
Yeah, he made a great point, and I'll just summarize the point and not the post, because the post is longer than this. But basically what he said is, I really hope studios take the lesson from this movie that they don't need to go make gonzo R-rated movies. They just need to like make good, true stories, like true to the character stories about superheroes. Like, this mm-hmm. doesn't mean everybody needs to be R-rated and everybody needs to be cussing and making, you know, sex jokes and all that kind of stuff. Like, he's like, that's not what happened here. What happened here is we made the movie that people wanted, and then it did well. Like,
right.
that's what it is.
Yeah.
He's like, in the same sense that every movie doesn't need to be Guardians. Like, every movie doesn't need to be Deadpool. It just needs to be the kind of, like, what went into making Deadpool kind of thing.
Right.
So
yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, they already said because of this, they're like, oh, well, the next Wolverine movie is now rated R.
It's yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, rated R movies can make, you know, $100+ million dollars.
Yeah.
Superhero films. So, so that's pretty exciting. And I, one last thing about it, you know, growing up with the X-Men, I've said this millions of times on the show, but the X-Men were like my family growing up. To me, they're a really big deal. Like, I read them constantly as a kid. My friends and I would just sit around and just read them voraciously, you know, like all through elementary school, all through middle school. And seeing Colossus come to life uh-huh. in this film and be a true adaptation
yeah.
of what, like, who Peter is in the comics, and exactly, it is fucking Colossus. It's not
yeah.
some bullshit, like, black leather crap that they just threw into the movie to say that they have Colossus in the movie. It's
yeah.
like actually fucking Colossus, and he's perfect.
Yeah.
And Negasonic Teenage Warhead is fucking awesome too.
Yeah.
So and definitely,
and
yeah.
The interactions with Deadpool and them are like just so pitch perfect. They just really, like, the writing and the direction just nailed what these characters are to each other in the comics,
right.
which is what everybody loves. And I'm so happy that it's happening. Like, and I'm happy it's a Fox movie, to be dead honest with you, because it was getting really tired going, like, hey, if everybody just pays attention to what Marvel's doing, like, don't rip off Marvel, but just pay attention to what they're doing with their movies, which is creating, like, fun movies that are, you know, relatively true to the characters from the source
right.
material. And, like, that's what people want. That's what's making the money. Not, like, every movie doesn't need to be fun and with a MacGuffin. Every movie just needs to make engaging movies with, you know, true characters, so aren't true to the story characters.
No, I totally agree.
And everybody's ready for X-Men Apocalypse, right?
That's the thing. Like, it's really weird. Like, when I left the movie with with my wife, I was like, you know, that was actually one of the most X-Men things I've ever seen on the screen. Like,
yeah,
Deadpool was more X-Men than like the past three X-Men movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, cool. So go see Deadpool. Yeah. I think we're going to do a couple minutes on The Division here.
I don't have a lot of time, but
Did you
enjoy playing it?
I did. It was great. And I'm excited to see how they scaled up the challenge to make things. It's going to be crazy.
Like, I'm excited how much they can do. And,
yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
I'm excited too. The qualms I had that I was going to talk about earlier was I'm just a little fearful of the grind of it, and just because when I was trying to reach Scott's level to get to level 8, it took me like. And there's nothing wrong with levels taking a long time, but since it was the beta, there wasn't a lot for me to do. So yeah. I ended up replaying the same mission like over and over and over again in order to level up, which is cool. But I did the same thing in Destiny.
This is my gripe from last time, Ash.
Yeah.
You stole my gripe.
I agree with your gripe. I agree that that's not exactly a great mechanic for, you know.
I think that there's more random stuff this time. It was way easier for me to get to 8 this time than it was last, but the slowdown from 6 to 8 is drastic. Like, getting to 6 is quick and relatively easy, and then 6 to 8 was, like, grindy. Although, to be fair, when I snuck ahead of you guys and did the subway mission to get to 8, and that gave me, like, half my bar. So I think it's new. I think they scale down the amount of experience you can get by grinding one mission over and over again, and you get more for doing new things. And like you said, there's just not a lot of new stuff yet in the beta.
Right. And also, the other thing that I like, when we were running around in the dark zone last night, I got that kind of feeling of sameness where I was just like, okay, well, like, I don't know if it was because in my head I knew that none of the gear that I was getting mattered after like 2 days. And I was just like, this is just a waste of fucking time. But after the three of us were in there for a couple hours and we got in a few firefights and we were extracting shit over and over again. I was just like, okay, well, I can't see myself doing this for like a month. You know what I mean? It's like, gear is great and all, but there has to be more going on in that dark zone.
I think they need to ramp up they need to ramp up challenges in the dark zone. Like, I was really bummed because before I was playing during the day and I went down to the dark zone and fought cleaners in the subway. Yeah. And then, so I was like super stoked. I was like, oh, let's go fight the cleaners. Then we went down there and there were no cleaners. And I was like, okay. Cause that was like sort of the fun part. And if they do more challenges and stuff like that, I could see it maintaining its funness. The only minor gripe I had from this time, which was because we did more dark zone stuff, was the thing I hit last night with you guys, which is that the weird mechanic of where your equipment goes when you're extracting it from the dark zone is really odd. And it's odd because it forces you out of the dark zone to manage stuff. Like,
yeah. You have to go back to base, which is, you know, a couple essentially loads in order to go get to your stash, which is odd.
And then the stash isn't unlimited, which I thought it was. I thought the whole point of the stash was like, oh, well, you have a stash that you can just store stuff for as long as you feel like. And then you have your pack, which has a limited amount of stuff on it. But the stash is very limited. Like, it's got like 30 items and then your stash is full, which is weird. Like, it's weird to me that they have capacity on that as well. But
yeah.
I don't know.
It's probably to prevent people from camping, you know, camping dark zone and just laying waste to everyone and taking all their shit.
Right.
Like, if you were able to stay in there all day.
Yeah.
And just rob from people, you know, and it all went to your unlimited stash, I think that could create a problem. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, the only problem or thing I see happening is that. I'm hoping the sense of sameness goes away when there's more content.
Yeah, I think the solo campaign, I'm really looking forward. I almost wish we could. I mean, we can co-op the instance missions, but we can't really run around the solo map together, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess we can.
I think we can.
Can.
Yeah, you can. We can all jump into the same game, and I think run them at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. I don't know where my brain just went for a second, but yeah. I feel like that is where there's going to be a ton of content and story, and that the dark zone may end up just being like random PvP and and challenges. But I think if they put challenges in there, if they're very specific about them, if they do fun like weekend game mini games inside of the Dark Zone, like that could be really fun. Because when you think about it, like we all love Mass Effect multiplayer, and like that was essentially the same thing over and over again. They made it fun by creating sort of like mini game challenges inside of that game, you know.
Good times. Well, so, I mean, I still really like it. I'm just, you know,
cautious.
I'm a little cautious. It's a little cautious, but I think it's gonna be great.
Yeah, I think the mechanics in it are some of the best shooting and gaming. Like it's such a good blend between not as hardcore as a Battlefield or as a COD Blops or something, and
yeah,
and like not as like, I don't know, it's near that Borderlands magic moment where you feel like you can be really good with a gun, or you can just kind of like go in and have fun and shoot around and enjoy yourself. So I'm digging it. I'm excited.
Me too. Are we done?
I think we're done. Yeah, we're down one. We lost Scott during that, but we're done.
Yeah, he got sucked into a vortex.
He did.
A vortex of fun. Thank you guys listening to episode 222.
I don't think that was English. thank you guys listening.
Thank you guys. I haven't eaten breakfast yet, so my
brain. Oh man, I jammed it down my throat before we started. Yeah. That's my
whoa,
fault.
Heyo.
Hello.
Thanks for listening to episode 222 of the Rated NA podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, and that's @NerdAppropriate. Go to our Facebook page, which is /NerdAppropriate. You can follow us everywhere. Please subscribe and like and do all that stuff. And we generally release our shows a little bit earlier to subscribers. So if you subscribe on iTunes or Feedburner or wherever you want, you'll get the show a little bit early, and you'll have, you know, a little bit extra of the NA goodness all up in you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll see you guys next week. Oh, yeah, we have a guest on next week's show. Mary-Kate Wiles, the actress, is going to be on the show. And she's fantastic. Awesome. So it's going to be a fun one. And we'll see you next week.
See ya. I'm not going anywhere in life and on this podcast.
Boom, 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 boom. Wow.